This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted us another opportunity that we meet in a house of His houses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering and to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight we continue our shield series, and this is a series that we began about a year ago, in where we are studying Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', the supplication of the morning and the evening that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and recommended and encouraged every believer to adhere to these adhkar, to these words, and to say them in the morning and in the evening. And we've reached the 11th dhikr. And this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And he narrates that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his daughter Fatima, مَا يَمْنَعُكِ أَن تَسْمَعِي مَا أُوصِيكِ بِهِ أَن تَقُولِي إِذَا أَصْبَحْتِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتِ يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha, what is preventing you from listening and doing what I advise you? That whenever you reach the morning and you reach the evening, for you to say, يا حي يا قيوم, O the ever-living, the sustainer of all things, I seek your help and assistance through your mercy. Rectify and perfect all my affairs and matters, and do not entrust me and leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye. This is the hadith. And this is to be said once in the morning and once in the evening. And the hadith has been authenticated by Imam Ibn Hajar, Al-Albani and others. First and foremost, you realize that within this hadith, there is advice from Sayyidul Khalq, advice from the chief of mankind, the greatest of mankind, and that is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is advising his daughter, who is also titled as Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, and also Sayyidatu Ahlil Jannah. She is the greatest of all women, and she would be the chief of the women in the paradise. A chief, the greatest of mankind, the greatest of men, is advising the greatest of women. Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she lived a very short life. She died very young. She died at the age of 25 years old. Fatima radiallahu anha, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that I had never ever seen anyone more similar to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than Fatima radiallahu anha. She was very similar to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his manners, character, and most of her affairs. Even the way she walked exactly like her father Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that ما تخطئ مشيتها مشية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا. You couldn't tell the difference between her and the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم walking. It was exactly the same. And when she would enter upon the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم would stand up, he would greet her, he would kiss her, and he would sit her in his place. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon her, then she would get up, she would greet him, she would kiss him, and she would sit him in her place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's something about his daughter. But the idea in our first point is to say this dhikr was advice from the greatest of men to the greatest of women. Therefore, what we conclude is that how much are you and I in need of understanding this dhikr and committing to it in the morning and in the evening? My brothers and sisters in Islam, there are a few observations to make when looking at this narration. The very first observation is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a father, would encourage his family upon the worship of Allah. In this instant, he is encouraging and teaching his daughter a supplication, a dua. And this already teaches us something, that one of the greatest fundamentals of maintaining a righteous family is that the family members must encourage one another upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Especially in this day and age that we live in. There is a lot of filth today. There's a lot of garbage, a lot of corruption, a lot of facade. There is all sorts of evil and harmful matters to grown men and especially to children. And parents are worried and they are stressed out. What do we do? With a lot of this facade and fitan around us, we're worried for our children. Rightfully so, of course, should be worried. But what do you do about it? What do you do to maintain the righteousness of your family and your children? Do you just sit down and complain all day and protest all day and night? Is there something to be done? In this hadith, we are learning that one of the greatest things to do in order to maintain a righteous family away from evil and harm and corruption is that the family members, especially the parents, are to encourage and motivate their children and the spouse to the other upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea is, in the question you're supposed to ask yourself, how involved are you concerning the deen of your family? How involved are you? You see, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would walk into the house of Ali and Fatima and he would wake them up for the night prayer. This is a voluntary deed. Family members encouraging one another upon the worship of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up his wife Aisha radiallahu anha to pray al-witr. This is the last third of the night, that one voluntary rak'ah. He would wake her up. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah bestow his mercy upon a man who wakes up and he prays at night and he wakes his wife up. So if she doesn't wake up, he sprinkles water in her face. And may Allah bestow his mercy upon a woman who does the same thing. You see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging the ummah, for every family, the members of that family, to encourage one another upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches his wife one of the adhkar, and that's going to come with us later on. When he walked into Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she was sitting and he left her presence, and then he came back hours later and he still found her sitting making dhikr of Allah. And he would say to her, I said after you, four phrases, three times, they would outweigh what you have said from the morning until now. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatihi. We're going to come to this. But the point is, once again, he is encouraging his family upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rabi'a bint Mu'awwidh also mentions that on the day of Ashura, which is coming on Friday, that the parents would get their children to fast the day of Ashura. And if the children got hungry and began to cry, they would take them to Al-Masjid and make for them toys from wool and distract them with that until the sun set and Al-Maghrib was called, and then they would break their fast. The idea is, and there's plenty of stories and plenty of ahadith to show you that there was a great involvement of the parents concerning the religion and the worship of their children. And this, as I said to you, is one of the greatest fundamentals in order to preserve righteousness among the family. You see, the sad thing is, when you always bring up worldly matters to your children and only worldly matters are discussed in the house. What's the next car we're going to buy? What school we're going to go to? What were your studies like? How was this subject and that subject? Which park are we going to this week? What kind of sporting activity is going to be done? And all of these matters are being discussed. And when we observe worships and how they're discussed in the house, there's nothing. Very minimal. When was the last time a person gathered his children and family members and spoke to them something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was the last time? Look at the problem in today's society. What are people speaking about in the cafes, in the restaurants, on the news, on social media, on the radios, in the masajid? What are people speaking about? Everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except for who Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed His mercy upon and still remains connected with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Even the idea is, no matter where you are on earth, there are fundamentals and principles that if you follow, Allah Azza wa Jalla will preserve your deen, will preserve your Islam, and will preserve the Islam of your children. And that's what we're learning as a first observation in this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of men, teaching his daughter. Why didn't he go and teach someone else? The narration is saying he taught his daughter, radiyallahu anha, to teach you and I, that as a father, as a mother, where is your involvement in sitting with your children and teaching them al-Islam, ayat from the Quran, ahadith and dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's fine, no problems. If you don't know, you can send your children to schools and Islamic schools can teach them and a Quran teacher can teach. But you have to have some involvement in this as well. Teach your child an ayah, teach your child a hadith. Don't just rely on the teacher to do so. There is involvement, there is barakah, there is wisdom in this. So that's the first observation. And this is by far the greatest responsibility that as parents you will have concerning your children. And that is to teach them their deen. The second observation we can see in this hadith is the style of speech. Notice something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Fatima, مَا يَمْنَعُكِ أَن تَسْمَعِي مَا أُوصِيكِ بِهِ. Notice the style. He said to her, what prevents you from listening and doing what I advise you? This style of speech, it creates passion and eagerness and excitement within the heart of the listener to pay extra attention to what is going to be said. And then that listener would be ready to implement this advice. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you notice? He didn't just say to her, if the morning reaches and the morning arrives and the evening arrives, say this. He said to her, what is preventing you from listening to what I have to advise you with? Well, the answer is nothing. Nothing is preventing her from listening. Rather, she is completely ready to listen to what her father is about to advise her of. But this is a style of speech in how you capture someone's attention. Right? For example, if I was to come to one of you and I was to say to you, brother, what stops you from listening to what I have to say to you? And tell you, look, what, you haven't said, what is it? What is it that you want to say? Say it. You're now excited to hear what I have to say. Right? So this is a style of speech that is perfect to grab someone's attention. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with these words that he says in this introduction, he has captivated the heart of Fatima radiallahu anha, and her ears are wide open now to listen to this advice and to implement that which in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to teach her. The third thing is that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا أُوصِيكِ بِهِ. He referred to what he's going to teach her as a wasiyyah, an advice. And wasiyyah in the Arabic language, it is to command or recommend a deed with emphasis. That's what a wasiyyah is. Different to a targhib or tarheeb. A targhib is to encourage someone to do a good deed without any emphasis. What tarheeb is to warn someone from something without emphasizing the warning. Wal wasiyyah, al wasiyyah is to encourage someone upon a good deed with extra emphasis, or to forbid and warn someone from a bad deed with extra emphasis. That's what a wasiyah is. It's serious. Like, you know, when we say al-wasiyah, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Al-wasiyah. What do you know about al-wasiyah? The death. Wasiyah is linked to death. So the dying person is recommended to write a wasiyah before he dies. And whoever owes someone anything, it's also recommended for him to write a wasiyah. But if you don't owe anyone anything, then it's permissible. There's no recommendation for you in that case. But the wasiyah is tied to death. You know, a dying person, when he wants to advise those after him of his family members and his relatives and so on, he does so with honesty, with sincerity. Like, he's leaving this worldly life. Why is he going to lie for? Khalas, he's leaving. There's no point to lie. There's no point to be insincere. There's no point to be dishonest. He'll write his heart out in this wasiyah. My family, I advise you to do such and such. My family, please go to such and such person that I have wronged and seek his forgiveness. Seek his forgiveness for what I had done for him. That's the wasiyah. Person is dying. You're absolutely honest and sincere in every word that you're going to write, because you're dying. So, ما أوصيك به, الوصية is something that comes sincere from the heart. And it is honest, it is genuine. And it comes with a lot of emphasis. That this dua that we want to share tonight, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to it as that. In other words, this is coming really genuinely from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like all his teachings. But there's extra emphasis on this one towards his daughter, radiyallahu anha. So this is an incredibly, extremely important dua that each and every single one of us must memorize and understand. We begin with this dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. It began with two of the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Hay, Al-Hay, the ever-living. Al-Qayyum, the maintainer and sustainer of all things. This dua began with Tawassul ila Allah. It began by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking a way to Allah through two names of his. That's At-Tawassul, to seek a path and a way to Allah. And from the best ways to seek a way to Allah is to call unto Allah through his names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful of names. So ask him through his names. And this is from the etiquette of dua, to start off by praising Allah. If you start your dua with a name of Allah, then you have started your dua by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. And you will find this a lot in the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, you will find it in the first surah of the Quran. Before we asked Allah, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, we praised Allah first. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, two names of His. Maliki Yawm al-Din, another name of His. And then Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, another praise. And then Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is from the etiquette of dua, and it makes your dua much closer for it to be accepted. And so this dua begins with the praise of Allah, and not only any two names, but these two names in specific, Al-Hay and Al-Qayyum, have been mentioned in a hadith that they are the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismullah al-A'zam. The greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. And that is found in the hadith of Abu Umam Al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ismullahi Al-A'zam, Alladhi idha du'iya bihi ajab, fi thalathi suwarin min al-Qur'an, fi al-Baqarati wa Ali Imran wa Taha. And the hadith is authenticated by Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest name of Allah, that if a person was to call Allah through that name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely answer that dua. And this name of Allah is found in three surah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and Taha. العلماء رحمهم الله, when they looked into these three صور, they found that there was one thing that was common between them all, and that is الحي القيوم. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa الحي القيوم. In Surah Al-Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa الحي القيوم. In Surah Taha, وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. Therefore, the conclusion was that the greatest name of Allah is الحي القيوم. And this is the opinion of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and others of al-ulama. And of course, there is a difference of opinion. Is there anything else that is also considered the greatest name of Allah? Yes. Al-ulama rahimahumullah in another opinion mentioned that it is the name Allah. Allah is the greatest name of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there is no contradictory between these two statements and these two opinions. We're going to say that bi-idhnillah, both of them are the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person is encouraged to ask Allah azza wa jal through his name Allah when saying Allahumma, and also through his name Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. So we're already off to a powerful start in this dhikr. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Now why are they the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see, these two names of Allah, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, they combine and they collect and they gather all the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of them are embedded within these two names. That's why they are powerful and they are considered the greatest names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And how so? How do they combine all the names, all the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal? Listen and pay attention. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of two types. Essentially two types. There is a type known as صفات ذاتية and صفات فعلية. There are attributes that are ascribed to the self of Allah Azza wa Jal. Self attributes, such as the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is the attribute of Al-Ilm, that Allah Azza wa Jal is all-knowing, and that He is, He has the ability over all things, the power, wisdom, majesty, al-ulu, highness. These are Allah Azza wa Jal's attributes that are known as sifat dhatiyya. They are attributes ascribed to the self of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's always been like this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such as the two hands, the two eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these are sifat dhatiyya. The other type of attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal is what is known as sifat fi'liya, attributes that are ascribed to His actions, like we can call it actional attributes, such as ascending, al-istiwa, when Allah Azza wa Jal created al-arsh, thumma istawa ala al-arsh, then He ascended and rose above the throne. Also al-nuzul, that Allah Azza wa Jal descends in the last third of the night to the nearest heaven. Also al-maji, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He comes on the Day of Judgment to judge between the people. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Fajr. So now with knowing this kind of knowledge, these two categories, when we come back to the name of Allah, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Hayy, it necessitates all الصفات الذاتية. All the attributes that are ascribed to the self of Allah, they go under Al-Hayy. Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-living. So He's always been living. And He's always been living, that means He's always been knowledgeable of all things. He's always been wise. He's always had ability and might and power. He's always been high and lofty. Right? And then when we say Al-Qayyum, then the name of Allah Al-Qayyum, all the actional attributes go under the name of Allah, Al-Qayyum. And so this is why Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum were the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in one way or another, they combine and gather all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, when a person says, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, he's called unto Allah Azza wa Jal with all of his names and attributes. Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the one who knows the name of Allah, Al-Hayy, he will most definitely find peace and comfort in his life. Imagine a child that went to his father and he said to him, "My father, if you die, who will feed us? Who will provide for us? Who will look after us? Who will drive us around? Who will pay our rent?" Imagine a child said this to his father. And you know, wallah, this is not a made up example. This is something that is actually alive, and children are speaking like this to their parents in war zones. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to relieve their affairs. But the idea is, imagine then this father turns to this son, puts his hand on his shoulder, and he said to him, "My son, don't worry, I'm alive. And so long as I'm here, don't worry about all of these things." How comforted would the child be? He'd feel somewhat at peace and tranquility that my father's here, why am I worried about all these things? And of course, to Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of examples. But Allah is telling you, He's Al-Hayy. He's the all-living. He's the one who never perishes and doesn't die, and He is never destroyed. So He is always here. So that is supposed to bring great comfort and peace to the heart of the believer. And I tell you, a moment after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and you know how chaotic Al-Madina became when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Anas radiallahu anhu said, "Azlama fiha kullu shay." Al-Madina became dark, everything became dark the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Umar radiallahu anhu is ready to kill the people that were saying he died. Uthman radiallahu anhu wasn't able to speak a word. Ali radiallahu anhu fell onto his knees. There was a lot of crying in the masjid, chaos, people have no clue what's going on. People are coming from all over the cities of Al-Madina on their horse and trying to find out what's going on. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the minbar. He got up, and from what he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ." He said to them, "People, anyone who used to worship Muhammad, then Muhammad has died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anyone who used to worship Allah, then Allah is all living and He doesn't die." With these words, he brought comfort to the believers. He brought them comfort. He eased the situation. There was now tranquility descending upon the people. Yani, okay, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. I'm telling you, we still will never understand what this means because we never lived at that time when this incident happened. But we're seeing that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu calmed them all down with the fact that he reminded them, Allah is the all-living. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. This is a huge name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just the fact we know Allah is all living, move on. This is a name that is supposed to bring tremendous comfort and peace to the believer. Imagine now when you're seeing Ya Hayy in the morning and in the evening with the right attitude. What kind of spirit is it going to inject within your heart? What kind of peace is going to descend upon such a person? What kind of tranquility is going to descend upon such a person? Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, sometimes we look into the names of Allah and we just say we know this name. We're familiar with this name. Move on. Something else. Something new. Yaqi, don't worry about something new. You have a lifetime to refresh your commitment with 99 names of Allah. These names are never outdated. These names are not something in where you just open a book and read. These are names in which they are supposed to transform your life and your attitude to life. When you know Allah is Al-Hayy, then you're not supposed to worry about anything. You're not supposed to carry any concern, any worry in your heart concerning the worldly matters and its affairs and calamities and whatever it is. Let you know the name of Allah Al-Hayy. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal, when He commanded us to rely upon Him, He did not say wa tawakkal ala Allah. He said it in another ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, but more specifically in Surah Al-Shu'ara, He said wa tawakkal ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut. He said, rely and put your trust on the one who is all living and never dies. Notice, he didn't say rely on Allah. He mentioned an attribute, a name of his. He said, rely upon the all living, the one who never dies. It's as though Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the reason for why we're supposed to rely on him. He's saying to you, rely on me because I'm all living. If you rely on something or someone else, then you have brought destruction upon yourself, because everything other than Allah dies, perishes, is destroyed. So if you relied on other than Allah for certain matters in your life to be fulfilled, the day that person dies, you'll be shattered because you have unfinished business. He's finished, he's gone. How are you going to finish your affairs now? Like people that don't know Allah Azza wa Jal, and they are chronically ill, and they go from doctor to doctor. They find the best doctor they have ever come to in town. And this doctor has given them all promises, and I've got your shifa, I've got it, it's all in my hands, I'll do everything for you. And then 2-3 weeks later, imagine, news went around that that doctor has died. How shattered will this patient be to know that the doctor who had promised he had the shifa in his hand has died? See, the one who relies on other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he'll be disheartened, he'll be destroyed. But the one who relied on Allah Azza wa Jal and took by the means, no problems. Because to rely on Allah as a first step, it means take by the means. Someone is sick, he saw a doctor, he saw the best doctor, go see the best doctor, no problems. But the doctor's just the doctor, that's just the means. I never relied on him anyway to begin with. Whether the surgery was successful or not, really I didn't really care because I relied on Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal is a shafi, not the doctor. He just had a means and a tool in his hand, that's all. So the one who relies upon Allah, the proper reliance, because he's the all-living, because he's al-hay, will find tremendous tranquility and peace in his heart. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, this is why when we say Ya Hay in the morning with this dhikr, with this dua, we are being reminded from the very beginning of the day, rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal for that day. Rely upon Allah for that day. Do the means. And whatever happens, it happens by the permission of Allah. Accept the provision that is given to you at the end of that day. Accept whatever calamity came your way at the end of that day. The one who relies on Al-Hayy, it's easy for him to accept these matters in his life. So this is the power of this name, Al-Hayy. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in another hadith, the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma laka aslamt, wa bika amant, wa alayka tawakkalt, wa ilayka anabt, wa bika khasamt. اللهم إني أعوذ بعزتك لا إله إلا أنت أن تضلني أنت الحي الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make this dua. He used to say, Oh Allah, to you alone I have submitted. In you alone I believe. Upon you alone I rely. To you alone I turn in repentance. And for you alone I compete and fight the enemy. Oh Allah, I seek protection by your might that you misguide me. You are Al-Hayy, you are the all-living, the one who never dies. While jinn kind and mankind, they die and they perish. But the idea was, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Allah is Al-Hayy, alladhi la yamut, that Allah is the all-living and he doesn't die, he was very quick to announce that he submits to him alone and believes in him alone and relies upon him alone, and he turns to him in repentance and he battles for his sake, and everything is done for Allah. You see what happened? You see all these declarations? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was easily able to make them because he remembered the name of Allah, Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut. That's the effect of this name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hayy, the all-living, that is opposite to Al-Mayyit, the one who dies. And the one, of course, who never dies is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has always existed. He is Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy means the ever-living, the one who has the complete and perfect life. Unlike mankind and animal kind and jinn kind. Look at mankind, for example. We were non-existent at one stage. لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. We had no mention. When we sleep, we are considered dead. النوم أخو الموت, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم says. Sleep is the brother of death. Similar to it. When we get sick and we fall ill, that takes a toll on our life, meaning our life is incomplete. When we are heedless, we're considered dead. Right? Because the one who doesn't make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla is considered dead. مثل الذي يذكر الله والذي لا يذكر الله مثل الحي والميت. The example and the difference between who makes dhikr of Allah and the one who is unaware of Allah is the example of the living and the dead. So when we are heedless of Allah, we are dead. And then eventually, we will die the major death. This is our life. See how incomplete and imperfect it is? Whereas Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hayy, the complete, perfect life. Al-Hayy means He is Al-Awwal, the first. He doesn't have a beginning, meaning nothing came before Him. Because if anything came before Him, then that thing would have been the Lord. But Allah Azza wa Jal is Awwal, nothing came before Him. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the name of Allah Al-Awwal, and he said, Alladhi laysa qablahu shay, nothing is before Him. Everything existed after Allah. Nothing came with Allah, and nothing existed with Him as well. Right? All came after. Al-Hayy means He's Al-Akhir, the last. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْء. Allah being the last means that He remains after everything is destroyed. There is no ending for Him. That's what the last means. Meaning He remains when everything perishes and is destroyed and gone and finished. Allah Azza wa Jal remains. Subhanallah. And that's why He is Al-Hayy. Because He's the first and the last. Therefore, most definitely, there is no one worthy of worship except Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used to call his people, he used to preach to his people, and he would always bring up the name of Allah Al-Hayy in his da'wah. He would come to the people while they were worshipping idols, and he would say to them, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ. Are your idols listening to you when you call onto them? Meaning they are dead. Why are you calling onto them? Meanwhile, my Lord is Al-Hayy. When I call onto Him, He listens to me. Ibrahim alayhi salam would observe his people worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars. So he came to them. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا. When the night enveloped and it took place, he saw a kawkab, he saw a star. He said to the people, this is my Lord. Ibrahim is saying this. Not that he believes that's his Lord, but he's creating an argument against his people. At the end, he'll fire him with an incredible argument. He said, all right, let's go with the wave. That's my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. The next morning when the star disappeared, he said, I don't like this kind of Lord. So what's this type of Lord? He comes and he goes. If I need him during the day, where is he? So he appears and disappears. So when the night came again, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ, he seen the moon. He said to them, that's my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ, as well, the moon disappeared. It was gone the next morning. Didn't like this. When the sun came, he said, ah, perhaps this is the Lord. هَذَا أَكْبَر. This is the biggest one. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ. And also when the sun disappeared and it went, sunset, it was gone. خلاص, now he came and he declared the truth to the people. And he said, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. I declare innocence from all of that you worship. Look, it doesn't make sense. You're worshipping something that is on and off. If I need my Lord at night, and you're seeing that your Lord is the sun, who do I call to? And if your Lord is the star and the moon, and I need Him during the day, who do I call to? So now he's bringing the idea that Allah is Al-Hayy. He is there, present, day and night, every moment of life. and every moment of the day and the night. And this is how he established his case upon his people through the name of Allah, Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy, my brothers and sisters in Islam, he is the one who gives life. Al-Hayy, in addition to everything we've said, he is the one who gives life. Since he is the all-living, he gives the life. And there's many examples in the Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this reality and this fact. You know, during the time of Bani Israel, someone killed someone. The story is long, but someone killed someone. فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا They began to argue and discuss among one another who killed him. No one's owning up. So Allah Azza wa Jal, after a while, a long process, he guided the people to go and slaughter a cow. Long questioning and so on, they got to the cow and they slaughtered it. The cow is dead. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَ وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ A dead man. خلاص, he's finished. He said to the people, go and take a part of this cow. Some narrations mention it was the arm, the one of the legs of the cow, the head of the cow, whatever it was. They took a part of it and they threw it on this dead person. كَذَلِكَ يُحِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَ All of a sudden, this dead person just rose. And he said, who killed him? And once again, he died. Allah Al-Hayy was able to bring him back to life. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُ Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the story of the people of a town that ran away from the town because there was a plague. There was a pandemic, there was a virus. Whatever it was in the town, they all ran away afraid of death. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ in their thousands. And as they're walking out, they're running away from death. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا Die. They're running away from death and they died. I want to make a similarity between a story that we experienced 3-4 years ago, but the idea is they're running away from a plague, running away from a pandemic in order to live, and they died. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Just like that, thousands, he said to them, come back to life, and they came back to life. Al-Hayy, that's because his name is Al-Hayy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest life that Allah Azza wa Jal gives mankind, and listen to this carefully, is life upon Iman and Islam. That's the greatest life. This is the type of life that you want. That's the connection with the name of Allah, Al-Hayy, that you want. Not the Al-Hayy, just give me health and keep me surviving for another year or two or a couple of years. Hayat, a life upon Iman and Islam. This is exactly what you're asking for. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, he says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ Allah Azza wa Jal gives an example of a person. He says about a person who was مَيْتًا, dead. The ulama said here, meaning he was upon misguidance and disbelief. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ And then we gave him life. Life meaning we gave him life upon Iman and guidance. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا And we made for him light. Light meaning we gave him the Qur'an and knowledge. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ And he is walking with this light among the people, meaning he is spreading this light, the word of the Qur'an among the people. But the idea is in the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal referred to Iman in the heart as أَحْيَيْنَا We gave him life. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Uhud, when the disbelievers finally took off from the plains of Uhud, and the believers had suffered huge losses, 70 of the companions killed, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam injured, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions, indeed this is a massive calamity that they had seen. فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمَّا Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions, استووا حتى أثني على ربي. He said to them, line up so that I can praise Allah. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praising Allah in the most difficult of moments in the midst of a calamity. Never forgot the praise of Allah azza wa jal. And actually encouraged all the companions. He said to them, line up. Yalla, we need to praise Allah azza wa jal. And he begins a long praise. And at the end of this dua, he said, Allahumma tawaffana muslimin. وَأَحْيِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. He said, our Lord, cause our death as Muslims and grant us life as Muslims. That's the life that you want. Life upon Islam and Iman. وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And gather us with the righteous in the afterlife. So think of these meanings in the morning and in the evening when you are saying, يَا حَيْثِ. When you are calling on to Allah Azza wa Jal's name, Al-Hayy, Ya Hayy. So, He is Al-Hayy. So you might ask, all right, He is Al-Hayy. How does that benefit me? Why should I depend on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should I rely upon Him? Because He is also Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum. This name always comes with the name of Allah Al-Hayy. Al-Qayyum always comes with the name of Allah Al-Hayy. They're always together. والقيوم is القائم بذاته المقيم لغيره. What's القيوم? القيوم meaning he is self-sufficient. He is dependent, independent from his creation. He is not in need of any of his creation, and at the same time all his creation, whether living or non-living, are all dependent on him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what القيوم is. Is that difficult? That's very easy. What is القيوم? Never forget. القيوم meaning Allah is independent from His creation. Doesn't need any one of them. And at the same time, all of them are in desperate need of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the name Al-Qayyum. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَا وَلَا إِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِهِ. Indeed, it is only Allah alone who keeps the heavens and the earth from falling apart. And if they were to fall apart, none but Him could hold them up. See, Al-Qayyum is the one who maintains, and He sustains, and He nurtures, and He guides His creation. That's Al-Qayyum. He does all this for them. Look at just as simple as the heavens and the earth. If He let go of them, then they are going to fall. And who's going to hold them? Besides Him, no one. That's from the names of Allah. That's from the meaning of Al-Qayyum. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the maintainer and sustainer and provider of every single soul. كُلِّ نَفْس. You see, as human beings, even the animals, wal jinn and all this, we depend on each other for our survival, right? In one way or another, look at the baby, depends on the breast milk of the mother to survive. Then the child depends on the parents to survive. Then you depend, let's say, on your teacher for your education. Then the wife depends upon her husband for financial spending. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, الرجال قوامون على النساء. And then you have the husband, he is depending on his work for them to give him his income. And then we are depending on the people that are working in the market stores to bring the food in there so we can buy it. And they are depending on the farmer to grow it. Everyone's depending on everyone, right? But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't depend on anyone for existence. Zero. That's Al-Qayyum. And you know, if I was to tell you, be Qayyum tonight for the street that you live on. Just your street. Be Qayyum for it. Yani you need to provide for everyone on that street, listen to everyone, solve all their problems, regulate everyone's blood pressure, maintain all their cells, make sure all their organs in function and they're all correct, then look after the birds and the cats and the dogs and the animals and the ants and everything that's on that street. Wallahi, you can't do it. You can't even qayyim your own self. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal is qayyum over all things and everyone at the same time, all around the globe. Things that you can see and things you can't see. Things you know about, things you don't know about. That's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal Al-Qayyum. How heavy, how huge is this name? And you are calling Allah Azza wa Jal with this name in the very beginning, in the early hours of the morning. That's something huge. Al-Qayyum, meaning you cannot do anything without him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you wake up, you need Al-Qayyum to get up. When you eat and you digest food and you want to maintain health, you need Al-Qayyum for this. When you want to rectify your affairs and purify your heart, you need Al-Qayyum for this. When you need money and you need food and you need drink and whatever you need in life, you need Al-Qayyum subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Qayyum. So that's the beginning of this dhikr. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And this is, as we said, two of the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is known as Tawassul. So now, up until now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking a way to Allah Azza wa Jal by calling onto two of the greatest names of his subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the next part is going to be al-istighathatu bi rahmatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's going to take a longer discussion with us. We're going to speak about al-istighatha. What is al-istighatha? And istighatha, especially through rahmatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. Before then, we get into the actual dua of aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. So we're going to stop here bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, our next lecture, our next meeting bi'idhnillah will be today's Tuesday, meaning it'll be on Thursday. Thursday night, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue bi rahmatika astaghith, hoping that we extract some wisdom and some light from this in order to better understand these adhkar and implement them and live according to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to understand the reality of this worldly life. My brothers and sisters in Islam, at the end we ask Allah azza wa jal that He accept our gathering, forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy and His compassion and gentleness and kindness upon us all. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us into the paradise مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a hasana in this worldly life and a hasana in the afterlife, and that He save us from the fire of hell. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from His curse and anger and punishment and wrath. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast upon la ilaha illallah, to cause our death upon al-iman wal-islam, innahu waliyu thalika wal-qadir alayhi, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.